This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Having watched the Republican convention come to its denouement last night, its conclusion, Donald Trump, thought we'd play a little music to kind of be in the spirit. Did you catch the fireworks show at the end? How did they ever get Trump 2020 in fireworks? That's pretty good. I've never seen fireworks that actually spelled something. Have you?
No, and dare I wonder where it came from? Who makes all the fireworks?
Oh, don't say China. Are you going to say China now?
I don't know.
You're right, Chinese fireworks. They've been doing it forever. They invented it.
Yep.
Oh, well. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works. I am Paul Malloy, along with Big Ed Davis. Thanks for being with us on this Friday, August 28th. Wow, the month is ending, my friends. In a few minutes, Ian Murray of the Competitive Enterprise Institute will be here. We're going to talk about Scandinavian socialism. Are Norway, Denmark, and Sweden really socialist countries? Are they? Stay tuned. We're going to talk all about it. You're going to be, very interested. And Donald Trump, he took 70 minutes to accept the nomination as president last night. Did he need to take that long? We're going to get some thoughts on how the event went with the proprietor of Mainstream America's most trusted poll, the Barber Poll. Andrew Ceresi will be with us. And first it was basketball and then hockey, and now it's baseball. They're postponing games over Black Lives Matter. Really? We will discuss all of this with my colleague, Big Ed Davis. Get his thoughts. Should they be doing it? Are they going to lose people permanently on this kind of thing? We'll talk about it. And in our ultimate top 10, a goodie, the top 10 greatest science fiction movies ever made. Do you think you know what they are? Stay tuned for that. By the way, we got to remind you that we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. You guys, the best place to go in Tampa Bay, both in the cut itself and in the price, is Andrew's Master Barbershop. You got to call first. You know that. 727-733-3773. 727-733-3773. It's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Well, I tried to watch the entire speech. I think the people that preceded Donald Trump hit it out of the ballpark. Hit it out of the ballpark. There was a black woman who made a case. She had been in prison for 22 years. 22 years. It had to do with a drug offense. It had to do with probably somebody being killed in the exchange of the drug. I don't know. But President Trump pardoned her. She was a black woman. And I bet that was the most heartfelt speech I think I've seen in a long time. You could tell that woman meant every syllable of that speech.
Actually, it was a nonviolent drug offense is why she got out early.
Well, why did they sentence her to life plus whatever?
It might have been
because she had a couple of other things that had gone on then. Because I did not think, from what little I knew of it, that the punishment the crime justified the punishment. But be that as it may, the convention is over, and away we go. Now, Trump had to bring up Biden in his acceptance speech. He said, nobody will be safe. Nobody will be safe in Biden's America. Isn't that a bit over the top? Yes. There's got to be a handful of people that will be safe, mostly Democrats. He took his aim at Biden and went off kind of like a – there was a point early in his speech, I would say about 5 minutes into it, where he said, I'm going to accept your nomination. And I thought, you know what? It would have been so perfect. It would have been so perfect to stop. Because everybody else had touted how great he was up until that moment for the entire week. And so I'm thinking, oh, please, dear Lord, please, please, please have him stop and turn and go into whatever they're going to do next. But no, he went on. He went on for an hour and 5 minutes.
Did you catch the part where he was talking about Joe Biden at one of his, one of his little rallies, how he did his usual, he went to the crowd, he gave his hugs and kisses. And he paused.
Yes.
And the wheels in everybody's head started to turn.
Yes,
and
I caught that. I caught that. He can't resist turning the screw. Now, there was a very touching moment when Donald Trump left the podium during this convention. And do you remember all of the handicapped people that stood up because they had those devices?
Yeah.
And he went up there, stood in front of them. And I thought that was a great moment.
I took, I don't know about you, but I think former Mayor Rudy Giuliani was very powerful. And he said something that should have been said a while ago. I've been complaining the fact that Black Lives Matter will not come out and distance themselves from the rioters. That's totally two different things. Mayor Giuliani said the same thing, that if you're not going to separate the two, we will continue, then we will consider you as one.
Yes, I think including Rudy Giuliani last night, every single one of those people, and then his daughter made a nice presentation too. And she came across very well. And I want to make a point, if I might, when anybody talks about nepotism in the White House, that none of the Trump kids are working for the government. They are not. There's not one penny going to them. The only person that is getting anything is going to be the First Lady, because First Ladies get a stipend to run the job of First Lady because they sponsor different events at the White House, et cetera. So let's make sure that we realize when they talk about nepotism, I'll tell you what nepotism was. When John Kennedy hired his brother to be the attorney general, now that is nepotism. That is nepotism. And not a word that I can remember. Of course, I was a little younger. But I don't remember anything being said about that, really, as a big, big, big negative. But that's definitely nepotism right there. But all the kids? No. No, they can. They're working on his campaign, and they can be spokesmen for him. It's on their dime. It's not on the taxpayer's dime. So, anyway, we have finished all of the speeches, and we are now ready to get into, I guess, you know, does this not spell the actual start? Is this not, are the exhibition games now over and we're right into the major games? I think we are, and it's going to be very interesting. We're going to talk a little later about what advice that Nancy Pelosi has for Joe Biden. But let's change gears. We're going to take our break. When we come back, Ian Murray is going to join us. We're going to talk about something I think is so important, socialism, and how it's not being used in Scandinavian countries.
For me, all of my life I've been waiting. Tonight there'll be no hesitating, oh boy.
Oh boy.
When you're with me, oh boy.
Oh boy.
The whole world can see that you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop, in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back and delighted to have back Ian Murray, who is the Vice President for Strategy and Senior Fellow at the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute. He's also an author, and he's now got a book out called The Socialist Temptation. He's written a couple of other books before that, The Really Inconvenient Truths and Stealing You Blind. So, Ian, welcome back. And I am very interested in talking with you because you talk about perhaps the myth of Scandinavian socialism. A lot of people point to, you know, Sweden and Denmark and Norway and say, well, you know, socialism isn't that bad. You guys are making it look bad. But look what, you know, those countries are socialist and look how good they're doing. So tell us, are the Scandinavian countries really socialist?
Well, it's great to be back with you, Paul.
Our pleasure.
The simplest definition of socialism is popular control of the means of production, distribution, and exchange, whether that be by public ownership, government owning the industries directly, or through very comprehensive bureaucratic control. Under that definition, yes, Sweden, for instance, Denmark, were socialist in the 1960s and 70s, but they started to reject that model in the 1980s, and by the 1990s, they had basically completely rejected that model in favor of a very vibrant capitalist economy with a lot of freedom, in fact probably more freedom than the United States, but they retained a very large welfare state. Simply having a very large welfare state is not a definition of socialism that's normally employed.
Right. So they've got socialist programs, like their like their health care. And to some extent, we're starting to slide that way too, which means that they've had to increase, I would suspect, the taxes on their people. May I ask, for instance, in Sweden, if you know this, generally, what percentage of the income is paid in taxes by Swedes?
Well, this is the very interesting thing. Sweden actually has a very large and broad tax base. You start paying high taxes at a much lower level than you would than you do in the U.S. In fact, I think it's something like 40% of the total labor cost of the average employee is taxes, compared with about 25% in the U.S.
Yeah, there. But, exactly. But, Go ahead.
Yeah, but you start paying the high taxes at a much, much lower level. So if you're middle class in Sweden, you are actually paying a very large proportion of your income as taxes, which just isn't the case here in the United States.
Right. Now, besides health care, and maybe I can ask you, you know, the other Scandinavian countries like Norway and Denmark, Finland, are they all kind of similar in what programs are socialized, like healthcare in Sweden, and ones are they a little different or what?
I mean, it is mostly healthcare, but Sweden, for instance, has a full school choice. So the education system is very much privatized. You get a voucher and you take that voucher to the school of your choice. So there's a lot more charter schools in Sweden, and actually the Swedish teachers' unions supported the introduction of this program.
Wow.
Similarly, Social Security has been partly privatized, and they'd like to privatize it further. So you get a choice of which funds to invest your Social Security money in. You don't have to rely on some government bureaucrat deciding what to invest your money in.
So you actually have a choice. You don't necessarily have to put all your like here, we have to pay Social Security if we're citizens and we have a job, basically. So there you actually could say, well, I want to put part of it into a private fund?
Yes. It's only partly privatized, so you have the choice is restricted, but at least you have a choice.
Isn't that interesting? So in some ways, they're actually moving, because that's the third rail of politics here in the United States, is it not? If you dare touch tinker with it. They've tinkered with it over there, apparently.
Oh, absolutely, and a lot of countries around the world have. This started in, of all places, Chile, back in the 1980s. And generally speaking, these privatized Social Security systems not only provide a much better rate of return on average for the investor, but they have a large degree of popular support as well.
Well, indeed. We're talking with Ian Murray. He has penned a new book, The Socialist Temptation. He is Vice President for Strategy, Senior Fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're talking about the, I guess you could call it the myth of Scandinavian socialism per se. But let's, you know, a lot of people don't even know what socialism is. And as you have said, in its simplest definition, it's control of the means of production, distribution, and exchange, either by public ownership or bureaucratic oversight and control. I always thought that Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher had the greatest definition with the problem with socialism. She said, the problem with socialism is eventually you run out of other people's money. Very interesting thought on that. I think she kind of summed it up well. What do you think, Ian?
Well, that's exactly right. Britain rejected socialism under Margaret Thatcher. You know, I grew up in socialist Britain, and it was a dreary, depressing place. One of the things that made me interested in politics was because when I was a child, I had to do my homework by candlelight, because the power unions and the miners, the coal miners' unions, were out on strike, so there was no electricity. The Britain of the 1970s eventually it became known as the sick man of Europe, and eventually there was something called the winter of discontent, where it seemed like every public service was on strike. Hospital workers were on strike. The municipal garbage collectors were on strike, so trash was piling up in the streets, you know, piles of 4 to 6 feet high, and even grave diggers were on strike.
Oh, my God.
So the dead were lying unburied.
Oh, my goodness.
And that was the breaking point for the British people. They suffered through it with the traditional British expression of mustn't grumble for decades, and they finally said, no, that's enough. This is enough. We're going back to the free market, and Britain's economy started booming and hasn't looked back since.
Yeah, that kind of paved the way for Margaret Thatcher, right?
That's exactly it. There was a prime minister called Edward Heath who was elected on the principle of going back to the free market in 1970, but he was a bit pusillanimous, and when the coal miners and the power workers went on strike, he backed down and just said, okay, we're going to continue with the status quo. But Margaret Thatcher was made of much sterner stuff, and she had the backbone to see off the labor unions, especially, who at one point were essentially attempted a coup against her during the miners' strike of 1984.
We're talking with Ian Murray. Again, he's come out with a new book, The Socialist Temptation. He works at the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute. You know, Ian, like Britain and possibly like Sweden back in the 60s and 70s, once you get a taste of socialism, it's kind of a bitter taste, isn't it? And maybe that's good. However, now we look at countries like Venezuela and Cuba, most recently those two, Venezuela. But they're communist. They're not just socialist. They're communist. They basically have dictators that are running their country. So is it fair to point, as some free marketers, maybe Republicans, do when they say, if you want to see what will happen if socialism comes here, take a look at Cuba or take a look at Venezuela? Is that a bit over the top, do you think?
No, I don't think it is at all. If you look at Venezuela, there is, they've been reduced to eating zoo animals because they don't have enough food, and that's because they collectivized agriculture. And that is something that socialist countries always aspire to do, but when they actually do it, as happened in the Soviet Union, as happened in China, it always leads to starvation and many, many thousands of deaths. The thing is, when those deaths start happening, the socialists turn around and say, well, this can't be the fault of socialism because socialism's perfect. So it must be the fault of internal saboteurs or a recalcitrant class like the Kulaks, or the fault of the CIA. That's where we are with Venezuela at the moment. The socialists claim it's all the fault of the CIA.
It's almost like the ultimate result is mass starvation, because I'm thinking of China under Mao, and I'm thinking of Russia under a Stalin, and the multi-millions of people that died, and of course in Cuba, and now in Venezuela, people that literally starved to death in socialism, I guess, in its ultimate form. Is that inevitable if you continue down the road to larger and larger socialism? I mean, it's kind of scary.
Well, indeed, as I say, the deaths in the Soviet Union with the Holodomor, the Great Leap Forward in China, what's the Maduro Diet, as it's called in Venezuela, that they are all part of the result of nationalizing, collectivizing land. So it's when you start getting to that stage, which all socialist countries aspire to, of abolishing private property, that's when the contradictions of socialism really go into top gear, and in an effort to provide more food by abolishing private property, you end up starving the people.
Yeah. I mean, this is what the Republicans are trying to paint the Democrats as moving into that environment, and I don't know if they're getting away with it or not. It seems like Biden wants to kind of ease his way out of it a little bit now that, the primaries are over with. But I guess we'll see what happens, in that area. But it remains a very visible topic when it comes to the race in November. So I want to thank you, Ian. Great to have you with us. And again, your book, The Socialist Temptation, is out. So I guess people can order it, what, from Amazon and the like?
Yes, absolutely. It's there on Amazon. There's a Kindle edition as well. It's at Barnes & Noble, and it's slowly making its way out to booksellers around the country, like, for instance, Books A Million.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Well, good luck with it, Ian. And I know we'll be talking again soon.
Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Okay, our pleasure. Ian Murray from the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Okay, we're going to take our break when we come back. Donald Trump, he took over an hour to accept the nomination or renomination as president last night. Let's get some thoughts on how the whole thing went with the proprietor of our greatest poll, the Barber Poll, Andrew Cerasi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up, every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back, and delighted to have the proprietor of the only poll that really matters in this country, the Barber Poll, Andrew Cerasi. Andrew, now be honest with me. Did you watch the entire Donald Trump acceptance speech last night?
Yes, sir, I did. They even watched the opera singer after. What do you think of that?
I think that's great. I don't know who the opera singer was, but he was good.
I don't know who he was either, but he was pretty good. He was pretty close to Pavarotti.
He was very good. I agree with you. So I have said here on the show this morning that maybe Donald could have quit after about 5 minutes when at some point early in his speech he said he accepts the party's nomination because everybody else was glorifying him for the past 4 days. And he did not need to do that. And it might have been kind of, you know, interesting if he had done that. Now, what do you think? Do you think he should have?
Hey, Paul.
What?
I think that I wouldn't expect any other answer out of you than that. Okay?
Really?
Now, of course. Of course. I think he knocked it out of the ballpark.
Okay.
You know, he talked his accomplishments, and there's nothing wrong with a man talking his accomplishments.
No, there's not.
The other people, you know, built him up this and that. But you know what? This was more time for him. The setting was perfect. Let's face it. This is all about patriotism. That's why he did what he did.
No, I think you're right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And he rocked it out of the house. And you know what? I think it was nice the way he did it. I thought he did it with total class the way he talked about Biden. He wasn't lying about nothing when he put it in the end over there. I mean, let's face it. This is an election. Look at how they talk about him.
I agree with you.
He had the whole country watching him last night. Yeah, I'm glad he put his accomplishments in there because you know what? A lot of people might have missed all those other people talking.
Yeah, and he has every right to do it. This is a convention, and this is what they do at conventions. So absolutely, he has every right. I'm just saying for his own good, it might have been kind of interesting if he had not been going on and on like that. It would just have been a little bit of a different taste. I'm not saying that what he did was wrong, by no means. And, you know, I'm
well, it all depends who you want to impress, you know. If you want to impress the masses, a lot of the American people, man, you got to put it right in front of them and tell them. You know why? Because they don't pay attention, Paul. The American people got blinders on half of them, what's going on, and they don't know.
Yeah.
Put it right in front of them. I think he did great. I think he had a grand slam. And another thing I told Ed, I said, Ed, those fireworks were not made in China, okay? There are people, I have two customers myself that are making fireworks for years. They're pyrotechnics, they call them.
Yes.
Okay? And they start building these things from now until the 4th of July to make this. So Trump had this in his mind he was going to do it. I guarantee they were all made here.
Oh, that's great news.
By professional pyrotechnics, believe me.
You know, that, in a way, if it was made in China, how ironic that would have been.
You know what? I don't think China could have made him do that good, to be honest with you. I buy a million Chinese fireworks. Half of them don't work.
How did he get the fireworks to spell out Trump and then 2020?
Well, you know what? We're going to have to ask one of my customers that are their pyrotechnics.
That was great.
Oh, it was phenomenal. I've never seen that in my life.
I can't
figure out Trump show.
How did they do it? They would have to shoot up. I mean, how do they even get the letters to form like that?
Paul, we can get those questions answered, buddy.
I tell you. It was okay, so now let me ask you about some of the other speakers. And I really thought he had a list of great speakers last night that preceded him, including his daughter, and including Giuliani, including that wonderful black woman that had been in prison for 22 years on a drug charge. That woman gave the most heartfelt speech I think I've ever heard.
Well, like I said, I'm glad I'm not a Democrat.
Yeah.
Because they got one hell of a fight ahead of them, and I don't think they're going to be able to do nothing. I think you're going to see Trump's ratings shoot way up. He's already, what, 51%?
I don't know.
He's at 51% from what I understand. And one other thing I understand is if you hit 46% if you're a presiding president, you hit 46%, that's almost re-election right there.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, that's what Barack Obama had when he got re-elected.
And now I want to talk to you about some very, very interesting advice that Nancy Pelosi has given to Joe Biden. She suggests that he cancel his three debates with Trump because Trump would belittle the forum, and here's what really gets me interested. He would engage in skullduggery. Now, if he engages it now, you've engaged in skullduggery from time to time. It's worked to your advantage.
Now, what is skullduggery?
I don't
Explain
know.
Explain that one to me.
I don't know. It sounds good.
Explain that one to me.
Nancy Pelosi seems to know something about skullduggery. Perhaps she has been involved in it for quite a good portion of her life. But what do you think about not having Biden show up for the debate? Do we just have Trump stand there?
Well, let me tell you something. No debates, they got no election, buddy.
Yeah.
When did you ever hear of a presidential election without a debate? These people are morons, Paul. Let's be real.
And nobody asked her the question. She just brought it up on her own.
Nancy Pelosi needs to be speaking at the Villages, where the people ride their golf carts to the Biden parade. Yeah, that's where she needs to be.
Well, she would get a grapefruit right smack in the face, and you know it. That's what would happen if she went to the Villages.
Yeah, well, they had their big golf cart parade. I think there was about 30 of them for Biden.
Well, I'll tell you what, if Nancy Pelosi showed up, you know what? They would ride over her. Somebody would knock her down, and another couple of the carts would back
I'd
over her.
I'd be the first one, Paul.
I think so.
But you know what, Paul? I got to say one thing before we continue.
Yes.
I just want to give a good friend of mine a shout-out because he just retired from 31 years in the Coast Guard.
Yeah.
His name is Master Chief George Hernandez, man. And I had to give him a shout-out, man, 31 years. I'm really proud of this guy. Very dear friend of mine.
Well, God bless him. George Hernandez in the Coast Guard.
You got it.
That's wonderful.
You got it. 31 years.
That's,
amazing,
you know, just think about that. Yeah, I hope he never got seasick.
I don't think so. I told him the only one that's got more time at something is me. I've been 54 years in the barbershop.
You have.
I don't get that pension, though, Paul.
Well,
what did I do wrong?
You run your own business, and you're like so many people with a small business that have worked hard. And this is what Trump, of course, talks about all the time. And what all of the people, you know, really in his administration, they talk about people that work hard, are willing to get out there. And, you know, there's nothing more satisfying, I think.
Well, I thought Barack Obama did it for me.
Oh, yes? Oh, well, tell us about that.
Yeah, I thought Barack Obama. I remember him saying,
You didn't make that. No, all of your assistants are responsible for your... That's kind of what he Barack Obama implied.
You just did my rear end, buddy.
Yeah, I know.
I did it.
I know you did.
Paul, Trump rocked the house, man. We're on our way. I'm really excited. You know I am.
I know you are.
Okay, there is no stopping him now. And I think you're going to see his rating go way high. I think he's going to go to double digits over Biden now.
Rand Paul tried to make it out into the night after the festivities, and he got surrounded. Do you hear about this?
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah.
Did you see it? He got surrounded.
They got anti-Trumpers. These people are paid. They're staying in good hotels and everything else. They're going to get to the bottom of it, Paul.
Well, I tell you what, threatening people as they come out, if they think, and I mean they being the Democrats, and I'm not saying that they're responsible, but if people that support Democrats think that that kind of behavior is going to get them votes, every time we hear about a riot somewhere, I'm telling you, those are votes for Donald Trump that are coming up. People that are on the fence, crime is becoming a big issue. In fact, it's now... From the last thing I saw, the last poll, the fifth most important issue. The economy is number one, the pandemic, but crime is up to the fifth most important issue. It's a much bigger factor for Republicans, of course, than it is for Democrats.
You know, Paul, my friend that just got out of the Coast Guard, George Hernandez, his brother is here helping him, and he lives in Los Angeles, California. And I asked him, I says, you know, and now this guy is on your side, Paul. That's all I'm going to tell you.
What do you mean?
I says, I think that California might go red. And he says, let me tell you, I lived in California all my life, he says. And you go to Sacramento and somewhere else. He says, I can never see it happening because all these people want is free, 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 free.
Yeah.
So he's on your side. I'm still thinking he's got a shot at going
well,
red.
Well, I think it would be absolutely phenomenal. And there are many, many people. I would be interested, though, in seeing the percentage of people that vote for Trump as compared to 4 years ago in California. Because,
this is true. Hey, you know, Paul, if they can make fireworks spell Trump 2020, yeah, California can go red.
It could. I'm still trying to figure that one out. It was wonderful. Well, I mean, if California is even... If we even dare breathe that it is in play, then think about places that are on the fence. And I'm talking about some of the Rust Belt states, of course, Pennsylvania, which went for Trump, and Michigan, which went for Trump, and Wisconsin, of course, went for Trump as well. But maybe even, I wonder, you know, with Illinois. Now, Illinois is bleeds blue. It's bled blue forever. But do you think there's a chance because of the trouble in Chicago, perhaps, or even in Kenosha?
Yeah, Paul, anything can happen right now. You know what, though?
What?
I think the Republicans need to change, or the Democrats need to change the color from blue, because you know what? I think a lot of people get, you got to patriotize the blue when we're talking about the police. They might think we're talking about the Democrats.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Blue also goes with police.
You know, when you say back the blue, I think they need to change that, because when you're saying back the blue, they're telling you back the Democrats.
Yeah. We were discussing earlier, I think Pepsi-Cola has committed something like $100 million to Black Lives
Matter. Ooh, Lordy, that's a lot of money.
So here's the question. Who gets it? What person do you send the check to?
Is I don't somebody? Know, but I could tell you, don't bring the Pepsi to my house, I could tell you that.
No, I know, but realistically, who are they going to give it to? Because nobody
wants to go to the Democrat Party. What do you think?
Okay, maybe that's where it goes.
And Pelosi got her purse open already.
I see. Yeah, because, and then how is it going to be spent? What are they going to do? Are they going to
have more commercials on television of Joe Biden kneeling down with his black mask on, kissing everybody's rear end?
No. Do you think he's going to finally get out and about now? Now that we're officially into...
He's got either that or he's going to dig deeper. One
you
of
think?
The two.
I'm wondering.
He's going to dig deeper. One of the two, buddy.
Why would Pelosi... I mean, maybe there's a method to the madness. Why would Pelosi even bring it up unquestioned on it? She just brought it up.
Because she knows Trump's going to make hamburger out of him. You're going to go through the meat grinder.
No, but I mean, do you think that they've talked this over? Do you think, you know, Pelosi's not the kind of person, I don't think, that, you know, is the spur of the moment.
You know, you got to realize Pelosi's losing. What is she, 81 years old, 82 years old?
So you think she did kind of just shoot this out?
Just shooting it out. No matter what, Paul, she's not all there either.
Okay.
Her and Biden should be sharing a room in the Alzheimer's ward. And they ought to have the judge there, Ginsburg, watching over them.
God spare us.
And Feinstein, too. She should be paying the bill for them all.
You know, you're pretty funny now that I think about it. You could have made a lot of money if you weren't a barber being a comedian on the circuit.
Well, I just speak the truth how I see it, my friend.
Well, it's great. You're always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. And boy, oh boy, here we go. I can't wait. I mean, I'm so excited now that we're getting into the real, you know, this is the exhibition season is over, Andrew. These are the real.
The fight begins, buddy. Let the fight begin.
The fight is now about to begin. So we'll talk. We'll talk next week about all of this. And it's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend.
I think Pelosi better get a keg of vodka ready for this one, buddy.
Oh, you think so?
I think so.
Well, do you think she's? Wait. Do you think she's into the vodka from time to time? I'm beginning to wonder.
I thought she was using it for sanitizer hands too. Are you kidding me?
Well, I think sometimes it gets into her mouth because she sometimes comes out and says some very strange things.
And her eyes go in two different directions when she's doing it. We see it all. You know, people aren't blind. Only the Democrats are.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Andrew.
All right, Paul. You have a good weekend, buddy.
All right. There he goes. The master barber himself, Andrew Ceraci. We're going to take our final break when we come back. First, it was basketball. And then hockey postponed its playoff games. And now baseball. We're going to talk about this with our buddy, my colleague, Big Ed Davis.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting. Beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio, heard every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine magazine and Bon Appetit magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all.
Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. And by the way, Freedom Works, we are with you every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. And if you cannot listen to us live, thanks to Big Ed, we have podcasts. Go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com. Ourfreedomworks.com. And speaking of Big Ed, he's also our sports guru here. And Ed, we had basketball declare that they were going to stop some of their games for Black Lives Matter. Now hockey. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think one of the Lightning games was postponed. Mm-hmm. And baseball is now starting. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a, you know, copycat kind of thing going on. Here's my question. Do you think this is going to permanently turn off some people that will not come back, at least for a long time?
I think it's another step on the ladder, but I also want to answer your question that you were talking to Andrew about. Where does the money go when you donate to Black Lives Matter? Well, Black Lives Matter, there is one person that categorically denied that any of the money goes to, because there was a suggestion or possibly some evidence that it was going to the Democratic Party. The BlackLivesMatter.com uses the platform ActBlue to process donations. ActBlue is popular among Democratic politicians.
Yeah. So there is a place that you can send the check? Is that what...
But yes, that's the ones
that's
that accepted. Now, who gets to put their hand in the jar and pull the money out is still, even though this long article, there is no answer. And now let's get back to the other thing.
Yeah.
By shutting down games yesterday and today, the Rays will play tonight. They did not play yesterday. And the NHL is shutting down games today also. By doing that, they've actually done more to bring awareness to the systemic racism, whatever you want to call it, than actually Black Lives Matter has done. Because they, as of right now, I think they're at a billion right now, the money that they've gotten in Black Lives Matter. They haven't built one park, sent one kid to school, nothing. So this is what everybody wants to know, because we want to know where the money's going. If, you know, if it's going to poor families or to help educate them about stop breaking the law.
Are you talking now again about the Pepsi money, or are you talking about money in the sports
world? No, I'm not talking
about
since George Floyd. I mean, there's been like $5 million donations from here. They're at a billion right now.
And where is it going?
We just wanted to know.
Yeah.
So now the NHL and everything, they've jumped in the soup with everybody else. And, you know, the players have the same robotic answer that they've been taught by the media, the Tampa Bay Lightning representatives, that this is bigger than sports right now. That's their answer.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, just being devil's advocate a little bit, I think because sports have focused in on this, people can sometimes say, you know, maybe I don't feel the way they do, but apparently a lot of black people do feel they're being oppressed. That it's not just a...
Yeah.
You know, it's not just an arbitrary thing. That there is some deep-seated belief in certain numbers of people in the black community. So I think you have to kind of give them their due. And sports does kind of make, does it not? It makes us step back for a moment, and it makes us think about
it. We can escape from it for a little while. And that's why people are upset about it.
Well, but what I'm saying is the people that are postponing these games in these major sports, therefore, we as viewers or whatever are indeed we are kind of forced to step back.
Okay.
We're forced to step back, and we do ponder it a little bit more. So maybe, in its own way, maybe it makes us think a little bit more about the oppression.
So by them not showing a game, you think everybody turned their TV off, or they changed the channel?
No, they changed the channel.
Okay.
Yeah.
To me, it had relatively no meaning whatsoever other than to piss a bunch of people off.
Okay. So you don't think there's no good that comes from it?
I haven't heard one person come out and say, gee, that was great last night. I sat in a corner and in my chair for 4 hours and thought about this whole deal that's going on.
Well, no, of course not. We realize that. And, of course, people will change the channel. I do think that, and I'm not for this, I think it will hurt sports. I think it will. And a lot of people will think, you know, these people are overpaid to begin with.
Yeah.
They have some nerve foisting their political opinion upon me, you know, when they make this kind of money playing a game of sport. So there's going to be a lot of that.
Well, they keep saying this is bigger than sports. I'll remind you on Tuesday when you cash your check.
Yeah. True. All right. Very well put. Interesting. All right. It is time, and I've always been kind of, I love science fiction movies, Ed. I don't know if you're a science fiction movie kind of guy.
Of course, yeah.
Do you like them?
I already got one in mind that could be number one.
Okay. Well, this is the American Film Institute. They make top tens, and one of the top tens that they have made are the top 10 greatest science fiction movies. Now, I'm going to tell you that every one of these movies was made last century, okay? there aren't any that were made in the 21st century. So that's a little bit of a hint.
Don't tell me we got a bunch of your silent films here.
I didn't say that. Let's find out. Here we go. Number 10. Back to the Future.
Okay.
Remember that one?
Yeah.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Yes.
Okay, good. Number 9. I saw this one on TV, Ed, and it was really spooky. Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Which one?
This is the 1956 version.
Sorry.
No, you didn't see it.
I didn't see it. I saw the remake with Leonard Nimoy.
This one's better.
Okay.
If you ever get a chance and you see it on, like Turner.
Okay.
Okay. Number 8.
Is that black and white, by the way?
Yeah, and it's
not going to happen.
And and it's a talkie.
Okay.
All right. Number 8. Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
Okay.
Now, is that better than Terminator 1?
Well, one, the Terminator was the enemy.
Yeah.
He comes back on the second one as the friend to save the kid.
So, when he says in the first one, I'll be back.
Yeah,
he comes back, and he's
more lovable in the second one.
I see. Okay. Number 7. Alien.
Okay, first one?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
1979. Did you see it?
Yes, of course I did.
Did you like it?
Sure.
Okay. Number 6. Blade Runner.
I didn't like that one. That was with Wesley Snipes, I think.
Oh, I thought it was Harrison Ford. Maybe it was Blade Runner.
No, I mean,
maybe it was Wesley.
I didn't like that movie.
It was made in 1982.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 5. The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Which one?
Now, it's kind of hokey. The 1951 version.
Sorry.
Yeah. I saw it on TV. It's played on Turner from time to time. It's kind of hokey. But back, I suspect, because I don't know and don't say I would have, back in 1951... Maybe that was kind of like very impressive with some of the special effects.
And you had to get those rabbit ears just right.
There you go. Number 4.
You didn't have Spectrum out there.
No, you're right. Number 4 is A Clockwork Orange.
Huh?
Did you see that?
Let me do it again.
A Clockwork Orange.
Huh?
Yeah, apparently not.
That's a no.
That was Stanley Kubrick who made that movie in 1971. Number 3. E.T.
Of course. You know, I only saw E.T. about 10 years ago because people were like, you've not seen... What?
So you had a guilt trip.
Yeah, so I watched it.
And what did you think?
Well, it was all right.
It's for kids.
Yeah, sure it is.
Okay. Number 2. Star Wars.
Well, which one? The beginning?
1977, the very first one.
Yeah. I don't think that was the best one, but yeah. Of course I've seen it. I've seen them all.
Right. And you like them all.
300-400 times at least.
Okay. All right, Ed, here we go.
I'm going to go.
What do you think?
Here's the thing. I don't think it's going to be in the time frame, but I was going to say Avatar, but I don't know if it's... I'm not sure if that's after 2000. I think it is.
It is. So I'm going to give you...
It's in HD. Yeah.
So I'm going to give you another chance before I tell you what it is.
Okay.
Do you want to guess another one?
No, I don't know.
Okay. You already did the drum roll, did you not?
Unless it's like, hold on. How about a Star Trek movie?
Okay. Well, we use that.
Okay.
Roll the drum again. 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Oh, your favorite movie, yeah.
Yeah, I liked it. It was good. I don't know if it was the best. I kind of think Star Wars was pretty good, too.
Yeah.
Anyway... We thank you for being with us. We will be back on Monday. Always remember, freedom works.
TAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
Storm threat. Kenosha questions. I'm Mike Moss. Remnants of Hurricane Laura unleashed heavy rain and